Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Live free. Come on. Fourth tribe. 100 centuries. Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Now what? Prices on our backs and the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation, just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with a government seal. Probably tried to stand up for seal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave him some fake news and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me. I'm just holding slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my yard and live free.
400 centuries of this horrid slavery, but Yah, he is the king, and he will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby Paul, baby doll. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way, just spend my Yah all day resting him, just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then I'm stuck in my zone, staying focused on the day when he finally takes his home. Till then I'm prophesying to the dry bones. Till that day that I'm gone and Yah reveal what he has shown. That Yahweh is Elohim, is him and none alone.
Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me of this horrid slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free.
Understanding that Yahweh's the only one. You was lying threat to about to be gotten fun. We destroyed like acknowledged, but all I ask for,
what's that?
Is the spirit of Yah. So all I breathe is the spirit of Yah. So all they see is the spirit of hate. So all my plea is to enter Yah's gates, and as they grieve, see his words take shape. So plain to see that Yahweh is great.
All I need, Yah's all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need. Yahweh is all I need.
With all of your heart, keep his commandments from evil depart. Give Yah his praise when some rises they start. Keep all his paths, I will light up the dark. All I yearn for is the spirit of Yah. All I long for is the spirit of Yah. Too long we've been disappeared from my Yah. Not sincere with my Yah, unaware of my Yah. Quite unfair to my Yah. Do we care for our Yah? The fountain of living waters. Why you think he's drying all the oceans? Why you keep choosing presidents and keep voting? Worshiping in the man, and who you hoping? He got a stand around your neck. He casting in. You keep soaking. Like blind at noonday. We keep groping. I beg for the day. Y'all's judgment's overflowing. Y'all got me high on this.
All I need. Yes, all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah. I must confess, my Yah. Is all I need. Yahweh is all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah. I must confess, my Yah. Is all I need.
Komadi bin Ayin, die off the night. Counsel to fear Yah and adore his life. These are the spirits we need in our life. To walk uprightly, be pleased in his sight. Trust in my Yahweh with all of your heart. Keep his commandments from evil depart. Give Yah his praise when some rise of they start. Keep all his flash, Yahweh light up the dark. Blessed is the man that walks not with Rasha, nor goes in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorners. Return none to Yah, I'm trying to warn Yah.
All I need, Yah's all I need. Habru Wakodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need.
All I need,
Yah's all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need. Yahweh is all I need. Your Ruach Kodesh, my Yah, I must confess, my Yah, is all I need.
Yeah, Yahweh. He's all I need. Praise Yah.
Yeah. 39 books. Yeah, come on.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted word. Even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our judge, he is our lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And again, I praise the mighty Yah again for allowing us to bring to you his holy and exalted words. And I think this is part either 6 or 7. You might have to call it. That's what I'm thinking it is. All right, this is last part, but if we had 6 and 7, then it's 8. Tonight we will be dealing with our last part of the book of Exodus. The last two names in Exodus. We brought you 10 previous names in the book of Exodus. The book that's called Names, Shemot. And these are the last two. And these two names are not last because they're the least of the names in the scriptures. Because as you will learn and as you will see, these two individuals are very powerful. Their names are powerful. Their work was great. And so we will read about them. And you'll read about these two great names in the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter. But let me just recap just on a couple of things. What are we doing? What are we teaching? What is it that we are showing you? Well, we brought to you, and we're bringing to you, the 5 books of Moses. And what we're showing you is insight on these 5 books, that if you follow it, if you learn it, and you are a very sincere-minded individual in your studies towards the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of the Most High, then what you're going to learn and what you're going to see is some various insight that you might have on the book of the law. We started with Genesis. And in Genesis, we will bring to you 12 different generations. And why 12? First of all, just like we're bringing you 12 different names in the book of Exodus. Again, why 12? Is this something we just made up? Or is this something ordered in the scriptures, a truth that really you just didn't know? You didn't understand, and you never seen. In the Holy Scriptures, one of the things the scriptures teach us is something that you're going to learn in the scriptures. You're going to learn it because we're going to teach it to you. And this is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 32. And I know we're dealing with Exodus, but this is something that I want you to see so that you can try to set your mind to it. And this is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided or separated the nations, their inheritance. In other words, all the various nations on earth, and Yahweh began to separate these nations. When he separated even the sons of Adam. Because this is where the various nations began to populate, began to be separated during the time of Noah, which was one of the sons of Adam. Look how he did it. He set the bounds, the borders. That's what the bounds mean. Of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And this is what you're going to find. That everything and everybody, their bounds, their order is set based on that number. And what is the number of the children of Israel? It's 12. It don't take rocket scientists to know and understand that the children of Israel is 12. No wonder you only had 12 months in a year. Even though somebody would teach you otherwise, and they would call me a false prophet. And all the books say it's 12. No wonder you only have 12 different numbers on a circular clock. No wonder they will teach you that it's 12 hours in a day and 12 hours in the night. I don't care what bound it is. He set these bounds according to the 12 tribes of Israel. As a matter of fact, 12 is an axiom. In other words, it's fixed, it's set, not by man, but by the Most High. In other words, a foot is what? Not 11 inches, not 10 inches, not 5, not 6. In other words, you'll never have to be confused. When they say a foot, you automatically know what that is. Because it's set. Just like it don't have to say the 12 tribes. All it would say, he set the bounds according to the number are the children of Israel, because you should know that number. So when we study Genesis, and we want to look to see, in studying the book of Genesis, which comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means in the beginning, we wanted to see how efficient could we be in studying this book? And you know what Yahweh did? He showed us the 12 different generations that if you study them, then you will know the origin, the beginning, and I may add, not just yours, but the beginning of the various nations that occupy and inhabit the earth. You will have that knowledge. And should you have that knowledge? Sure, you should have that knowledge. if you're going to have dominion over the earth. Then Yahweh will have another book of the law. The second book of the law, which is called Exodus, which comes from the Hebrew word Shemot, which means names. And when we went to study that, when we went to see how efficient can we be to study this book and learn the various laws of it, Yahweh had already set it in order and already made the crooked things straight. For the book itself is means names. And when we begin to study these names, and how many names is it? 12 different names. And I know it looked like I brought to you 13 different names, with the first name being Shifra and Pua. But there are certain things that Yahweh will count as one. You can have two dreams, but Yahweh say, well, it's really only one dream. Yeah, I know it's a homeborn, a stranger, but it's only one law. It looked like it's a law for the stranger and a law for the homeborn. But he said the homeborn and the stranger only have one law. So the way Yahweh see things is not necessarily the way we see it. But you can have two. And they can be twins and be seen as one. And why would they be seen as one? Because they're twins. And Yahweh said, yeah, they're twins, but these are two manner of people altogether. Two different nations altogether. They're not even the same. They're different. And so we have to see things the way Yahweh sees it. So now we're dealing with these 12 names. And you're going to see it won't deviate from the other book. When we get to Leviticus, when we get to Numbers, nor when we get to Deuteronomy. Yahweh is consistent, and its consistency will bear the truth. Now, what are these two last names? Well, as I told you, go to the book of Exodus 31. We're studying the books of the law. And we're in the book of Exodus, book of names. Why are we dealing with names? And this is what it says in the book of Exodus 31. There's only 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. As you can see, we, at the end, we covered a lot of ground with the various names that we brought to you. 31 and 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Yehuda, gave his tribe, told you his father's name, told you his lineage, and who he is. Well, what would Yahweh do with this man that he called by name? That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with names. And I filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, all manner of workmanship. why would he have to be filled with wisdom and understanding and knowledge? I thought when you feel with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, it's just so you can act right, so you can speak right, so you can walk right. Well, little do people know, not only wisdom, understanding, and knowledge will help one to become perfect and righteous in their spirit to do righteously, but this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge also will bless your hands in all manner of workmanship. And this is what he feel in the man, as you know of, as Bezalel, who he called by name. But to do what? To do what? What workmanship for what? Watch what it says. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This is what he would do. This is what he was filled with the Spirit of Yahweh for. So when we go to do our works and labor in Yahweh, that's what I'm saying. Our people still have not came to the clear understanding that when you go to do the work of Yahweh, you laboring and work in Yahweh, should not you be looking for someone that has the spirit of Elohim in them? That's what you look for. And once you have the spirit of Elohim, should not you see some type of excellence? Here, when they was filled with the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, they were able to devise cunning works, works of perfection. So whatever you feel with the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, should not you be able to show what you can do? Show me something. Show me a sign of your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge. Don't just talk about it. Show me your works. But he was not the only one. Yahweh was called by name. The sixth verse. And I, behold, I have given with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamak, of the tribe of Dan. So not only we got the tribe of Yehuda, but we got the tribe of Dan devising cunning works. And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I put wisdom that they may make all that I've commanded you. And watch the things that they were commanded to make. Now, they had help. They had other people there that had wisdom. Not only that will work for them and make things, but will offer things. But these two was called by name. And if Yahweh call you by name, should not you show some type of excellence, devising cunning works in the thing that he will call you to do? Watch what it says. Look where their works lead them. Seventh verse. The tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony the mercy seat that is thereupon, all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and his furniture, the pure candlestick with all his furniture, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, the laver and his foot, the cloths of service, the holy garments for Aaron and the priests, the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, the anointing oil, the sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I've commanded you, shall they do. So in other words, all the holy things, the sanctuary itself was crafted, was made, was designed by them. The furniture, everything. Because Yahweh will call them by name, and he will give them the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge. As a matter of fact, what do the word or the name Bezalel mean? Bezalel means protection of Elohim. What this sanctuary was set in our midst for, to protect us, that we might call upon him, that we might come near unto him, and that we might learn to do righteously before him. This sanctuary was our protection. But what about Aholiab? Because Aholiab was another person of the tribe of Dan whom Yahweh will call by name, which means tent of his father. Tent of his father. Who do you think his father is? The Most High. And what tent, what tabernacle do you think he was building? Yahweh's. And this is what they will do. Watch this. In the book of Exodus 35. Here it is. Let me show y'all something. From Exodus 25. Yeah, go to Exodus 25 for a second. Let me just show you this. In the book of Exodus 25, starting at the very first verse, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering." And watch the type of offering they to bring. "And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shit on wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, for sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be length thereof, cubit and a half the breadth thereof, cubit and a half the height thereof. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shall you overlay it. You shall make upon it crown of gold round about. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it. Put them in 4 corners thereof. 2 rings shall be in one side of it. 2 rings in the other side of it." In other words, see what all the people had to bring? And then Yahweh will have the various instructions that the blueprint of how everything was supposed to be made. And the only thing Yahweh had not done at this particular time, in the book of Exodus 25, in the book of Exodus 26, in the book of Exodus 27, in the book of Exodus 28, because that's all you're going to read about, is the instructions on how to build and make these things. The instructions on what type of offerings you need to bring to make these things. Exodus 29, Exodus 30, it's only one thing left to do. After all that, and that is to name the people, name the individuals that Yahweh wanted to do the work. And he named two, even though there was more. But these two had the overseer, had the dominion, but most important, they were filled with the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and in knowledge, all manner of workmanship. This took wisdom. This took understanding. This took knowledge. And of course, this was for excellence. Because when you're working for Yah, you're laboring and working Yah, that's what he wants your work to be done. And if it's the spirit of Yah, would not that work be in excellency? That's how you know whom the spirit of Elohim is in. You begin to see the excellency of Yahweh. Because his spirit is in them. Exodus 35, talking about Bezalel and Aholiab, who was charged by law, by commandment, by statute, by judgment, by testimony, to do all manner of work of the sanctuary. In the book of Exodus 35, once again, watch what it says. The fourth verse. And Moshe spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering of Yahweh. Whoever is a willing hearted, that's all he wanted was the willing hearted, and let him bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and brass. Start repeating, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, a goat's hair, ram, skin dyed red, badger skin, shed on wood, oil for the light, spicy for the anointing oil, for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set up for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that Yahweh has commanded. And there's only one way you're able to do that type of work. You must be filled with wisdom. Watch this. We're going to jump down to the 29th verse. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahweh, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which Yahweh commanded to be made by the hand of Moshe. And Moshe said to the children of Israel, see, watch what he said, Yahweh has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Yehuda. And he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim, and wisdom, and understanding, and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, silver, brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab. So not only they were to do the work, but they also was charged to teach in the work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. So not only are they supposed to have the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge to do work, but also teach the work. Them has he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver. Look how skillful they are. Of the engraver and of the cunning workmen and of the embroiderer, whether you were sewing or not, in blue and in purple and in scarlet, in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. So, yes, sisters, they was sewing curtains and tents and all kind of things because they were cunning in all manner of work. Even the embroiderer, even the weaver. And why? Because Yahweh called them by name, and not just to do the work, but also to teach the work. And watch what it says. Exodus 36 and 1. And Moshe called, then were Besai and Aholiab. Exodus 36 and 1. And every wise hearted man in whom Yahweh put wisdom, understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that Yahweh had commanded. In other words, these brothers that was charged to do all manner of work, who has the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, they were not prophets. They were not even of the seed of Aaron. In other words, they weren't priests. They were not of the sons of Levi. So they were not Levites. But yet, Yahweh would charge them to do one of the most holiest works in Israel, to make the holy things. The Ark of the Covenant. No one could touch that. No one can. But who do you think Yahweh will put the spirit in them to make a house, make a tabernacle, make a tent for his covenant? Besaleel and Aholiab. That's who did this work. Not the Levites, nor the Aaronites, but a Yehudanite and a Danite. That's who did it. Third verse. And they received from Moshe all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it therewith. And they brought yet to him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that worked all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work, which they made. And here, Yahweh, he only wants the best. And not only he wants the best, he's going to fill the best with the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that they need to do the work. Because this is a great work. It's a great work. And oftentimes we don't know what we're called to do. Unless we find ourselves bowing and humbling ourselves to Yahweh. And that's what we must do. Because once we do that, then Yahweh will begin to show us and teach us, lead and guide us and order our steps. This is what I called you to do. My work, my labor. Look what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Because this was no light thing whatsoever. Nor was it a light thing that Yahweh will fill them with this great wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. For it says in the book of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse, honor Yahweh with your substance, which a lot of people don't want to do, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Yeah, the first fruits of it. Not just any part of it, the first fruits of it. Of how many of your increase? All. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. That's what will happen. But watch the 13th verse. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Happy is that man. But so I can assure you that when Bethsaiel and the Holy Isle undertook this endeavor, they did it with all the excellency that Yahweh would give them. Just look at the works of the people of Yahweh. Look at their work, their works. I'm not talking about the works they do for the white man. I'm not talking about the works they do for the other man. I'm not talking about the works they do for the mean man and the man that will pay them all the money that they will receive. Not talking about that work. I'm talking about the work that they do for Yahweh. And ask yourself, and the reason why I said the white men and other people in other nations, because we see the type of work they do for them, and oftentimes it's good work. It's great work. What we want to know is, are you putting all the work and labor and sweat in your hands for Yahweh? Are you doing that? Because Yahweh said he wants your whole heart. And I can assure you, Bethsaiel and Aholiah, they didn't waste none of the wisdom, none of the understanding, none of the knowledge that Yahweh would give them to do this work. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter, look what wisdom says. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewed out her 7 pillars. But that's what wisdom do. The scriptures say, through wisdom is a house built. And by understanding, it is established. And with wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out her 7 pillars. She killed her beast. She's mingled her wine. She's also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest place of the city. Who is simple, let him turn and hear. And as for him that wants understanding, she says to him, come and eat of my bread. Drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So wherever this great house of wisdom is, this is where you want to go. This is the place in which you want to be found. This is the path that you want to walk in. And this is the house. This is the food. This is the drink that you want to consume. Bethsaida and Aholiab. In the book of Exodus 38. Watch what it says. Again, speaking of these two great names in the book of Exodus, which is a book of names, here it is. All these beautiful and great things that's made. Most of our people don't even know who made these things, who devised these cunning works. And even if you know their names, did you know that Yahweh filled them with the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge for them to do such great works? And did you know they were not priests, nor were they Levites at all? But yet, they was charged to do this work that the priests wore, house that the priests sanctified, and the Levites stood in. Yes, these two. In the book of Exodus 38. Just like Asaiah, it says, once again, '38 and '22. And Asaiah, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, the tribe of Yehuda, made all that Yahweh commanded Moshe. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, tribe of Dan, an engraver, a cunning workman, embroidered in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. As you can see, these are Yahweh colors. Gold that was occupied for the work and all work of the holy place. This is the holy place. Even the gold of the offering was 29 talents, 730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver of them, with number of the congregation, was 100 talents, 1,703 score and 15 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. A bekah for every man, that is half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone that went to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,350 men. Another 100 talents of silver were cast to sockets of the sanctuary, the sockets of the veil. 100 sockets of 100 talents, a talent for a socket. Yahweh was very detailed, left very detailed instructions, and would charge two detailed men of excellence. And they was only excellent because they had the spirit of Elohim, of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Don't tell us you have this spirit and we don't see your excellent work. We don't see your wisdom. Your understanding, your knowledge in life matters that comes from the Most High. Where do we see Yahweh in you? Since you're so great, since you're so perfect, since you're so righteous, since you're so upright, since you're so cunning in all manner of workmanship, where is the spirit that we're supposed to see? Show us. Show us. That's what we want to see. Just a couple more scriptures. First Chronicles, the second chapter. Else can these offerings be put to use and the work be done with the excellency of Yahweh. And this was commanded and ordered by law. The work was done, the work began. And you will read about these various works, these various laws, these commandments in the book of names. You take away the name, you take away the work. The names are testifying about the great works and labor of Yahweh. First Chronicles, the second chapter, in the 18th verse. And Caleb, the son of Hezron, and we know who Caleb is. Yes, Caleb is one of two men that came out of Egypt who made it to the Holy Land. Caleb was the Yehudanite who founded the land of Yehuda in the Holy Land. Yes, this Caleb. The one the scripture says he had another spirit. And what do you think that spirit was? Wisdom. And the other person was Joshua, who was one of the ones who divided the land to the 12 tribes of Israel, their inheritance. And he had another spirit. And what spirit was that? Yes, wisdom. And Caleb, the son of Hezron, begot children of Azubah, his wife, and of Yeroth. Her sons are these: Yasher and Shobab, Ardon. And when Azubah was dead, Caleb took to him Ephrath, which bore him and Hur begot Uri, and Uri begot Bethsaiah. In other words, these were all Yehudanites. Just like Oholiab, who's the son of Ahisamach, which is a Danite, the tribe of Dan. And even in this, show you how great their work was. Not because it would do this thing that we're about to read, but this is what the people would do if you are a foolish people that don't fear Yahweh. And watch what it says. Second Chronicles, the first chapter, the last verse. And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom. And Yahweh's Elohim was with him and magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. And so Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of Elohim, which Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of Elohim had David brought up to Kedar Yaarim, to the place which David had prepared for it, where he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. And watch what it says. And moreover, the brazen altar that Bethsaiah, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of Yahweh. And Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up there to the brazen altar before Yahweh, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And in that night did Elohim appear to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to Elohim, you have shown great mercy to David my father, and have made me to reign in the stead. Now, O Yahweh Elohim, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. Who can judge this your people that is so great? In other words, and one of the things I was going to read to you is one of the things that Bethsaiah Neil made, the people began to worship it. But this is what he made, and Solomon, at this altar that Bethsaiah made, sought the Most High for the greatest thing that anybody can ask for. And that is the wisdom, the understanding, and the knowledge to judge. And to judge who? These people. Who is that? Israel. 11 verse. And Elohim said to Shlomo, because this was in your heart, you have not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet have asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there any after you have the like. So in other words, he became great, a king of excellency, just like Bethsaiah in his work and the Holyab in his work, as David the king was in his work, as Moses was in his work, as Aaron was in his work, as Abraham was in his work. And now, if you are laboring and working in Yahweh, show us your excellency in the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that you was called by name. The book of Exodus, the book of Names, the second book of the Holy Scriptures, of the five. And I want to remind everybody, not only we're completing the second book of the law that represents names, the very book that brought us the name of Yahweh, because this is when Moses fulfilled the work of bringing in the name of Yahweh. But Yahweh will also bless us on this second day of the week. The second book of the law, as well as to complete our 40-night fast. For this is the last night of our 40-night fast. See how Yahweh works? We fasted 40 days, and then we will fast 40 nights the second time. First time, 40 days. Second time, 40 nights. And we complete that tonight. What are we completing? The second book of the law. The second day of the week. There's only one thing left to do. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom, and praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. And let Yahweh be mighty.
Malachi, 50 ounces of wood.
no in man but thee. Understand is Yah is none but he. Speaking out the book of Yah and read. Speak these words to plant your holy seed. Obey his voice, no in man but thee. Understand is Yah is none but he. Speaking out the book of Yah. Speaking out the book of Yah.